Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your goodness and grace. We thank you for your mercy, and we thank you for your loving kindness. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I've entitled this morning's message, Keeping the Faith. Yes. Keeping the Faith. As I went before the Lord this week, and a lot of times I like to look at world news, and a lot of times our own media here in our country doesn't exactly give you the facts, and sometimes not even the truth. So I sought out other news feeds, especially coming from Europe and other places where they don't have a bias, contrast. And so one of the things that I read is, you all know now that Russia is about ready to invade Ukraine. They have 100,000 people at the border, and now we're sending troops and troops left and right in the Baltic area. What our news didn't share with any of us, which I read in the European news feeds, is that Putin went on record to say that if one Russian gets killed by an American soldier, it's World War III. And it's going to be on. And it's not going to be a conventional war. It'll be a nuclear war. And so, as I went before the Lord, I said, Lord, how do I address this in a spiritual sense? Because in the natural, we can get frightened. We can, oh my gosh, really? But see, God showed me that you could be walking 10, 15, 30 years with Christ. And if something that devastating like that were to occur, there's going to be seasoned saints that could lose their faith and be filled with fear and shock and ask God, why? And so the Lord gave me this message, is keeping the faith. Yes. Keeping the faith. Listen, many of us are going to go through hard times in life. Some of us have been through some strenuous relationships, financial issues, health issues, and God has seen us through and we've had victories. How many of you had victories with God? Amen. And God let me know that when you read the end of the story, when you read the end of Revelation, we win. We win. Come what may, we win. Amen. No matter what the enemy has schemed up, no matter what the enemy has done to your family, to your own life, we win. And when Jesus comes, he will eradicate this whole entire world and renovate it. Those of you ever been into a home that was totally renovated? It's like, oh my, wait, this house was built in 1961. When you walk in, it's totally renovated. Okay, well, God's going to renovate the world. Hallelujah. And righteousness will rule. And he will rule with a rod of iron. And guess what? The Bible says us Christians are going to rule and reign with him. So in other words, we're going to have a responsibility. He's going to allocate. He's going to show us, okay, you have dominion here, you have dominion there. He's going to assign us. Listen, a lot of us think we go to heaven and we're going to be on clouds playing a harp. Oh, no. We're going to rule and reign with him for 1,000 years on this planet during the millennium reign, meaning for 1,000 years. And guess what? There will be no more crime. There will be no more evil. There'll be no more murder. There'll be none of the things, no chaotic things, no cities being burned down, no protest. We won't see none of that because Christ will rule and reign. And I can't, how many can't wait for that moment? So as we anticipate that in the near future, God is saying, keep your faith. Don't lose your faith. No matter what we see, because the tribulation will have to come. If you read the book of Revelation, the tribulation will come. I'm understanding and reading that you and I as Christians, we're not appointed to wrath, but unto salvation. So I personally believe Jesus will come and take us out before the wrath of God is poured out. And so these things have to be. But in the meantime, as we work out our salvation with fear and trembling, we are to hold on to our faith. Keep the faith. Don't lose your faith. Why? Because it'll take you to a road where you don't want to go. And the last place you want to go spiritually is a dark road. Because that dark road, there's a whole bunch of demons that'll torment you. You see, Jesus even said, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come to give life and life more abundantly. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to read together verses 10 through 13. This is key. One of the ways to truly keep your faith until we see Jesus face to face is these scriptures we're going to read right now. And Paul was addressing to the church in Ephesus. And by the way, we took an Israel trip years ago. I believe Brother Tony was with us. And we went to Ephesus. We went to go see the seven churches that's mentioned in Revelation. And I remember the tour guide said, look it down in that valley. So we were on top of a mountain right down in the valley. And said, that was the seat of Satan. That's mentioned in Revelation. We were going, what? And guess what? They took that same seat and they moved it to Germany. And that's when Adolf Hitler rose up filled with the devil to kill 6 million Jews. He sat on the seat of Satan. It's a real place. It's a real, listen, when you read the Bible, it's real. It's real. We went to those seven churches in Ephesus. They're in Turkey. It's all in Turkey. And so Paul was writing to the Ephesians in Ephesus. And this is what I want us to really take heed and let the scriptures illuminate in your mind and your heart, because the word of God is alive, sharper than any two-edged sword, able to reach down into the bone and marrow. This is how powerful God's word. It's the only written word that's alive, that you can't see it physically, but spiritually it's alive. And it transforms us. The word of God is what saves us. The word of God is what heals us. The word of God is what allows us to prosper. And so let's go there right now. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 6, 10 through 13, and the word of God says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Notice his might, not our might. We're frail. We get weak. We can be scared and frightened, but the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Meaning, old slewfoot, Satan, he's relentless. He wants to attack you 24/7. And I've said this and I'll say it again. If he can destroy the family, he has the church. His whole thing is to destroy the family, scatter them, divide them, so that they will have no desire of the things of God. Because he would have deceived them, pitting people against each other. And guess what? It's not the person, it's the spirit at work. These are spiritual matters. And so that you may be able to what? Stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. See, it's not your brother. It's not your sister. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. But against principalities. Against powers. Against the rulers of the darkness of this age. Against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Wow. See, God says that in the heavenlies, Satan rules and reigns on this planet. Did you know that Satan is the ruler of this planet? That's what the Bible says. Why do you think you see so much evil and chaos? Why is there so much murder? Why is there so much crime? Why 60, 70 now? 70 million babies aborted. Never had a chance to live. Killed in the womb. That's not holiness, that's evil. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Verse 13, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the evil day. We are now living in that evil day. We're in that evil day now where things are atrocious, things are wicked. You can't watch anything wholesome anymore. Everything's been perverted. The devil has perverted the holy things of God. And you know what I mean. When you're watching a commercial, wait a minute. 2 men in a tub? Oh, come on. You know what I'm saying. I have to be careful when I say up here or they'll remove me from YouTube. And so, look at this, saints. Many people are facing adversity today. How many of you can honestly say that there were things just this past year you were experiencing adversity? For Sister Yolanda and I, we caught the COVID for the second time. But praise God, it wasn't as severe as the first one. More of that first one, oh my gosh, pneumonia set in and I couldn't even walk 5 steps and I was panting for air. But God saw us through. Can I get amen? God saw us through. Praise God. Listen, if God is head of your life, nothing has gotten him. In other words, he is not surprised of what has happened to you. It didn't take him unawares. He allows us to go through things. Why? Because he wants us to trust him that he's with us. And he's not against us.
Amen.
And so, saints of God, many of us may be dealing with financial difficulties. At one time, I was suffering because of rebellious children. I know a lot of families that have rebellious children, and then I know a lot of families that have wonderful, obedient children. But the ones that have rebellious children, a lot of them have lost their hair or turned it gray or their knees are all calloused. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Praying, oh God, bring that one back home. Or perhaps they're hurting emotionally because of personal betrayal. Someone betrayed you and it hurts. It cuts to the core. How could you? You betrayed me. Or physically due to health issues. You know, I remember a time that I only had one little medicine bottle in the cabinet, and now there's 15, I think. When we were 25 and 30, we were on top of the mountain. Now I can't even walk up a mountain. So adversity comes in a variety of different forms. Can I get amen? But one thing is certain, it will come to each and every one of us sooner or later. And so, saints of God, some people crumble under the pressure of adversity. I know some people, they can't handle adversity. They like fizzle away. You know, it's always like, woe is me. Head always hung down. Can't look up. Always under the pressure of adversity. They become so bitter and resentful toward the Lord that they walk away from their own calling. Because they can't handle it. Saying some even resort to addictive behaviors to try to escape the pain. Others face similar challenges but have a totally different reaction. Every one of us is going to react to situations of life different from one another. But there's still a reaction to an action that has been given to us. And God allows it. Can I get an amen? God allows these things. Others face similar challenges but have a totally different reaction. And instead of weakening them, difficulties make them stronger. I hope sometimes, you know what? I'm gonna rely on the Lord and be strong in the power of his might. We just read. Adversity can either be overwhelming, a burden that so causes us to be distraught, or adversity can be a bridge that we can go deeper with God. How many would rather have your adversity turn into a bridge than a burden? Can I get amen? And so let's look at this right up here. Look at this. A burden or a bridge? How do you handle adversity? How do you handle anxiety and fear? And when someone does us wrong? That's one of the key issues, is it's a heart issue. When someone has done you wrong, one of two ways. You can get bitter, get revengeful, try to take that person down, or you humble yourself and say, oh God, fix my heart before you fix that person's heart. Fix my heart. Because a lot of times we can deceive ourselves and we could have been the cause. But a lot of times we walk with blinders on and we don't see the whole picture. Can I get amen? And so, saints of God, no one wants to experience tough times. I know I don't. How many of you don't like tough times? No, man, we want to just chill and say, well, yeah, man, everything's good. But when they come our way, saints of God, we have a choice on how to view them. It's a burden or a bridge. So let's look at this. A burden, spiritually speaking, is a heaviness or a weight that depresses us. And it could take us right to a place of total darkness. We may feel discouraged without joy and peace. When you get to that place and it's a burden, the Holy Ghost could be all around you and you don't even feel his presence. You know why? Because you're consumed with a burdened, broken down heart. And God can't even penetrate that. But he's still there for you. He's still there for you. Now, let's look at this. A bridge, by contrast, is a way to rise above difficulties and develop a more intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father. This is where I want to be. I get it. I didn't like what was dealt to me. But I'm going to seek your face, God. I want to draw close to you, Lord. Because I know that you can fix me and fix the situation a whole lot better than me. Because we'll learn to put our hands in certain things. And guess what? We mess it all up. Because we put our hands in it. Listen, when God is doing something in your life, let go and let God. Let go and let God. Don't put your hands in it. Because when we put our hands in it, it gets toe up from the flow up. Can I get an amen? Saints, two verses represent the foundation of this bridge to greater intimacy with the Lord. Let's look at this one verse of scripture found in Psalm 103:19. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over what? All. So once your mindset understands that God has established his throne and he rules over the whole entire world, that should bring comfort that God did not leave you alone to suffer, to go through adversity all by yourself. He rules over all. So he is what? The Alpha and the Omega. How many know what that means? He's from the beginning to the end. So before he spoke the world into existence, he was already there. No one created God. He was already there. And when he spoke the world into existence, guess what? He had you and I in mind. He already knew our name. Before we were conceived in our mother's womb, he already knew our name. Man, just imagine the mind of God. And so that's the first scripture that I wanted to point out. And this one. Now, I want you to catch something, because this is just for Christians, for the body of Christ. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who what? And the only ones that love God is us. Born again, we love the Lord. The unbeliever don't love God, or they what? They would wake up praying for the family. They would be in Bible study. They would be in the field testifying what God has done. But unbelievers can't do that because they're unregenerated, meaning they're not saved. So this scripture right here is, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So whatever God has allowed you to go through right now, it's working out for your good. It's causing you to grow. It's causing you to learn. He's opening up spiritual eyes where you thought, wow, I thought it was that person. But you know what? Instead of having resentment, I'm just going to pray for that person. That God will take that person and transform that person like he's transformed me. Can I get an amen? Amen. See, when you have a paradigm change, meaning a whole different mindset, and you look at it the way God looks at it through the lens of scripture, you cannot fail. You can't fail. But when we put in our own humanistic mindset and our, we'll get it all messy. And so, saints, when these two verses are correctly interpreted, they become a bridge that help us overcome adversities. Now, look at this. Adversity was a bridge in Paul's life. We're going to look at Paul the Apostle. This man went through all kinds of adversity. Did you know that the scripture that we open up in Ephesians that talked about the armor of God? Guess where he wrote that? In prison. Chained to another prisoner. And yet, he probably asked for ink and paper to write it down. And God protected that scripture so that we can read it today. Paul's life is one of the best biblical examples, saints of God, of how adversity can be a bridge to a deeper relationship with the Lord. This apostle wrote the majority of the New Testament. I hope you know that. He wrote Colossians, Thessalonians, Ephesians, Romans, Philemon. The list goes on. I think did I miss Philippians? Yeah, he did them all. He wrote them all. And the majority of them he wrote in prison. And so, without the revelations that the Lord gave him, he would have far less insight into the life of a Christian. So God gave him an insight. Why did God give him an insight? For us to grow. So that we can see a life that went through some tragic things. He went through adversity. That lets us know God. If God was with him, guess what? God will be with me through it all. Praise God. Look what's written in Philippians 3:8. Look at this. Yet indeed, I count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have what? Suffered the loss of all things. He lost everything. You got to remember, this man came from the lineage of Abraham. He grew up as a Pharisee, raised. He was like the attorney of the day. He was under Gamaliel, one of the rabbis who was honored at that time. He was raised under that, and he had a lot of zeal for God, but he didn't realize that when he came against the born-again Christian church, which was called the Way, he didn't realize that his zeal was hurting the church. This is why Jesus had to knock him off his beast and said, why are you persecuting me? You know, when I read that in the book of Acts, it reminds me of my story. God had to knock me off my beast. And some of you, he had to knock off your beast so that you can look up and say, okay, God, you're God, and I'm glad I'm not. Can I get an amen? But look what he wrote here. He says, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. I want you to catch this, saints. Whatever you're going through is because you want to gain Christ more and more. Can I get an amen? Amen. So despite of the pain, despite of the loss, despite of all the things you're going through, and all the burdensome that sometimes our trials will take us through, you need to understand, through it all, I want to gain Christ. I want to see Jesus in this. Can I get an amen? And he will show himself strong and mighty in your life. But you just got to hold on. You got to keep the faith. You can't throw away everything that God is doing in your life for all these years just because it's not going your way. And there are many Christians that want a Burger King life, having it my way. But God is saying, hey, slow your roll. Wait upon me and watch me do great and mighty things in your life. Look at Philippians 3:10 here. Look at this. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being conformed to his death. What that means is we have to learn how to die to self. You know what dying to self means? That means sitting our spoiled brat self down. And allow God to work in our life. Can I get amen? We have to learn how to just die to things. Say, you know what? This is not benefiting me for being in misery and woe is me. And that wasn't fair. And how dare you? Listen, even if your job lays you off, guess what? You were looking for that job at one time, right? And so what? Guess what? He has another job in store for you. Just get up and go in faith and apply and watch God open up a door. But some people are at home. Oh, God, I know the phone's going to ring. Oh, God, I know that you have a job. And God is saying, yeah, get up and go apply. Listen, God is saying, do the practical thing, and then I will come in and do the supernatural thing. Can I get an amen? Praise God. Praise God. So we're going to go quickly because I know some of you want to, go hit that cue. Listen, the game don't start till 3:30, and plus your team's not even in it. So hang on. Let's power through this message. Can I get amen? Amen? And we can have fun at it too, right? I learned from my former pastor. You remember Pastor Leo when he used to preach, man. He didn't want to make it like dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. Oh, come on. We got to keep it real, right? Number one, He could know peace even in adversity. Now, we're going to go through scriptures regarding Paul the Apostle, right? Paul said it best in Philippians, "Now that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content." Paul was content. "Know how to be abased, and I know how to be abound." Meaning, he knew when he had nothing, and he knew when he had everything. "Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." And then he goes on, and we always quote this scripture, but we didn't read the top half of it. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Praise God. And we can. But God has to strengthen us. Can I get amen? Amen. And so, saints, God would give him supernatural strength in his weakness. He explained that his weakness allowed the Holy Spirit's power to work through his life. So in other words, Paul gave God complete access. He didn't push him out in areas of his life. He says, "God, I'm here until you take me home." And this is the mindset we have to have. "Oh God, use me until you take me home." Listen, a lot of us have lived this life already. Go back to your BC years before Christ. There was only temporary happiness, but there wasn't total joy. When you're in Christ, there's joy unspeakable, because joy comes from the Holy Spirit, which goes into eternity. And so look at this. He said he explained that his weakness allowed the Holy Spirit's power to work through his life. And he wrote this to the Corinthian church. And he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in" what? "Weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmity." Did you catch what he just said? He says, "I'd rather boast in my infirmities." None of us want to boast that I'm going through something so radical right now, and I just want to brag about it. None of us do, do you? Some of us want to put our head in the sand like an ostrich and let the world go by. But look what he wrote here. He wrote that the power of Christ may rest upon me. "Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmity." In other words, he says, "Bring it on." Paul said, "Bring it on." Look at this. He takes pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. I need you to get a hold of this. Whatever you're going through, say, "Oh, come what may." Well, guess what? I'm still going to live for you, Lord. I'm still going to hang on, God. I might not see an answered prayer here on earth, but I know in eternity I will see you face to face and I will be with you. You see, we want an awesome outcome, and I get that. So do I. But if he never gives you an answer to the dilemma you're in right now, he will let you know when you see him face to face. Because there's some things that if he allows us to go back to normal, it would crush us when they fall apart again. So hang on. Just hang on to God. He has the best answer. Can I get amen? Amen. "For when I am weak, then" what? "I am strong." Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's look at number two. The Lord was the source for all his needs. Aren't you so blessed? Through Paul's persecution, his imprisonment, those who would, when you read the book of Acts, that he was beat with steel rods. Just imagine a steel rod, and he was beaten where his bones probably broke. He was tossed out of a second-story building. He was bitten by a poisonous snake. His own countrymen robbed him. He was shipwrecked. He was persecuted for preaching the gospel to the Gentile nations. That's us. And yet, he stood strong in the power of God. So the Lord was the source of all his needs. Can I get amen? So he wrote this in the Philippian church. He wrote this, and my God, say that with me, and my God shall supply what? All your need according to his riches in glory by Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He will supply them. Let me ask you, has God failed you yet?
No.
Mm-mm. See, there's some things we can just truly boast. Oh, God, you're a blessing. You've filled all my needs. You blessed my house. And like I said earlier, we don't boast about our adversity. But guess what? He's got all of our attention, doesn't he?
Yes.
And when we fully rely on the Father, he will provide for us. Number three, he could trust in the Lord's faithfulness. How many believe that God is faithful?
Yes.
He is faithful. Especially one of the toughest things that you and I could ever have to endure is temptation. I've heard it best. If you're on a diet, don't go into a donut store and buy a Diet Coke. Because that bear claw will just come up right there. Oh, come on. Oh, that's right. Look at this. No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But say this with me. God is faithful. Oh, come on. I need you guys to have conviction on it. God is faithful. Who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make a way of escape. Hallelujah. You know, that thing is, oh man, that thing is so good. And then God will put a pep in your step to go. That's what he says right here. He'll make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Yeah, man, I could have had that bear claw. But he allowed you to get away from it. Can I get amen?
Amen.
And so, saints, Paul had learned to depend on the Lord to carry him through any trial. And so no matter what you and I are facing, he's able to see us through any trial. Can I get amen?
Amen?
Look at number four. The Father valued his service more than his desires. So Paul had certain desires, but Paul, he served with his whole heart.
Amen.
He would do things that God didn't even ask him to do because he was fully in love with the Lord. I need you to catch this. It's not about do's and don'ts. I've been to churches where they have a whole bunch of rules. Don't do this, don't do that, dress like this, put this on, blah, blah, blah. And when you can't meet that, you fall into condemnation. And now you have a heaviness on man-made rules. But Paul was different. He did these things because God said, "All right, this is what I expect of you." He did it because he had a love relationship with the Lord. So when you love God with your whole heart, soul, and mind, guess what? The things now he's asking you to do, you'll do it because you love him. It won't be because I'm telling you to do this. No, when you fall in love with God, you'll say, "God, whatever your will is, let thy will be done." Because you do it because you love him. There's a difference. It's like this. You have a kid at home that's 6 years old. And you just want that child just, please sit down for a moment. That child's running everywhere, jumping on the couch, just getting into things, almost crashing in, knocking the lamp over, all that. You know how they get. So finally, you put your foot down. I need you to sit down right now, okay? So they go and sit down. But in their heart, they're standing up. See, if we look at Christianity like that, then we miss the mark. We missed it. When God is saying, do this, do that, do that, we do it because we love him, not because we're sitting down, but we're actually standing up. No, you fall in love with him. That's why 604, I'm going to bring this back like I said last week. There's 614 laws that the Jews had to keep. And Jesus said, if you miss one law, you miss them all. In other words, none of it will work for you because you missed one of them. So all of them are all void and null effect in your life. This is why Jesus said, here's the key. All the laws hinge on two scriptures. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. So the prophets and the laws of the Old Testament all hinge on those two. So when you love and fall in love with Jesus, yes, Lord. Yeah, God, I'll let this go. I don't need this, God, because I'm in love with you. Can I get amen? Amen? Just fall in love with Jesus. Fall in love with him. Hallelujah. Look, this is what King David, he truly found out God's heart. Look at this. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. So delight yourself in God. Love the things of God. Love the word. Be in a women's study. Be in a men's study. Share the gospel. Let someone know that God loves them and that he cares for you and that I know that what you're going through, but God can fix it. So when you start delighting yourself in God, then guess what? All those desires that we have, he said, he will give them according to what? Your heart. Look, saints, instead of satisfying Paul's inclination toward comfort and ease, God sent adversity to prepare him for a greater service. Okay, so if you're just comfortable right now, I'm okay right now. I don't want nothing else, God. Well, guess what? You'll just be stagnant in your seat. But if you want God to truly use you, guess what? Allow adversity to come knowing that God's with you. Amen. And he'll see you through. He'll see you through. Yes. Oh, yes. Look what Paul wrote. Lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelation. God gave this man revelation after revelation after revelation. But look at this. A thorn in the flesh was given to me. A messenger of Satan to buffet me. Lest I be exalted above measure. So this adversity that came is so that Paul wouldn't get, I'm going to say it in layman's terms, that he wouldn't get big-headed. Oh, look at me, man. I know the Bible in and out. What do you need to know? No. If God has given you revelation after revelation through his word, be humble about it. Let God open up doors so you can graciously, you know what? Let someone know how much God loves them and how he can meet your need. He knew that adversity was going to be tough, but God prepared him. Number five, look at this. Even in his adversity, God would strengthen his message. Saints, Paul was in prison. We just talked about it, right? The entire Roman guard heard the gospel. And the more adversity that you and I face, the more effective our message is going to be to others. That's right. Well, let me just share this, brother. Let me just share this, sister. I've been there. I know what you're going through. Because I was there at one time and God saw me through. Guess what? He will see you through. And so you come along to strengthen them, to encourage them. We're to be encouragers. Can I get amen? Oh, that's right. We got to encourage the body of Christ. We have our greatest impact when people watch us go through adversity. Listen, some of you right now, maybe somebody knows your trial right now, what you're going through. But guess what? No one's judging you. I look at it like this. I can't wait to see what God's going to do. Amen. Can I get amen? I'm looking at with great expectation that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever think and ask and hope for. And that God will see us through. We have to be that great encourager. Can I get amen? Because as he was going through, look at the effect that Paul had on just normal people like you and I. Look at this in Philippians right here. So that it has become evident to the whole palace guard when he was in prison and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. And what happened here, because there's more to the story, the guards that were watching Paul, they got saved. You know why? Because he wasn't in there murmuring and complaining. He was worshiping God. He was praising God in his chains. This is what God is saying to us. Worship God through your adversity. Worship God through your trial. Worship God. Say, oh, it's okay, God. I have your joy. I have your promises. I'm going to live with you forever. Whether you fix this situation or not, whether you heal my body or not, whether you put money in my account or not, it doesn't matter. I'm going to praise you through it. I'm going to give you glory and honor. And I'm going to boast in you. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And so, my friends, we're moving quickly. It's important to see everything as coming from God. Because God allows it. Can I get amen? God allows it. So one of the most important lessons the Lord has taught me, my friends, is that he uses everything. Everything. He uses everything, even the wrongs of others. Did you hear what I said? Even the wrongs of others, he uses that for his purpose in my life. And I've been wronged. Oh, I've been wronged. Oh, yes. I've been through some things. Did I like it? No, no one likes to be wronged. But I learned from it. I learned that God allowed it, that I would grow from it, that I would hang on and not throw in the towel. Praise God. As the scripture, I need you to see it again. A thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, that lest I be exalted. In other words, that we are to walk in humility. Amen? Amen. We're coming in now for our close. God's ways are not our ways. I hope you know that. Let me just say this. Your trial, whatever you're going through, is tailor-made for you. Tailor-made. It's specifically your trial. The trial he has me going through, some of you, because, oh, man, I can't go through that trial. And then for some of you, oh, God, help me. Give it back to him. I don't want this trial. Yeah. Listen, Isaiah wrote it best. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Put it this way, in layman's terms, God knows how to fix you. God knows how to make things right in his time. See, we think we have a game plan. Oh, it's going to be done like this. And God says, just throw that off the table. I'm going to show you a better way. That's going to strengthen you and bless you and help you. You see, saints, suffering is often the stimulus to a greater closeness with God. We draw near to him for relief from pain and suffering. And in the process, my friends, we discover more about and how he works. I'd rather discover how he works in my life than try to resolve the issue with my own understanding. And my own understanding is stinking thinking. I didn't say that about you. I said it about me. And so, look at what he wrote in 2 Corinthians 12. Now look at this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of what? All comfort. Amen. I went to a wrong scripture, but I want you to see this. How many of you, as I shared, and when COVID hit us, I'm thinking, about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, it hit us again. And I said, oh God, am I going to go through this strenuous thing again? So I went before the Lord, and this scripture came to mind. My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities, Paul said, than the power that may rest upon me. So I was saying, God, I'm going to let your power, your anointing rest upon me. If I have to go to the hospital, if I have to do this and that, I know that you're with me. But I realize that his grace is sufficient. Whatever you're going through, God's grace is sufficient. Can I get an amen? It's sufficient. And so, whatever he has prescribed for you, take it with grace. Whatever it is. Because he knows what's best for us. Can I get amen? Amen? Number 8, adversity prepared him to comfort others more effectively. Aren't you so blessed? Listen, how many of you love to comfort others? Or do you just like to ridicule them? Because the moment you start ridiculing people and you're pointing fingers at them, guess what? There's three pointing right back at you. I'd rather do God's way. Comfort someone. Help them. Pray for them. And this is what Paul wrote. Look at what he wrote. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father what? Of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our tribulations. Did you catch that? Not just some. Not just, well, I'm praying for you and, you know, but I don't know what he's going to do for me. No, in all tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble. Let me just say this. Some of us that are going through probably a big trial in your life, and it's so huge, you can't see past it. But the moment you start to comfort others, and you start praying for their need, and you start asking God to help them and strengthen them, guess what? That giant trial that you're going through starts to shrink. Amen. And then you're going, man, what was I all hung up about that? Because that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to deceive you that whatever you're going through is so huge, God cannot help you. But when you comfort others, guess what? Now you're learning to die to self. So, okay, I'm going to comfort someone. And after you comforted them, God comforts you. I'd rather do it God's way. Look at this, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble, and with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. So as you're blessing others, God's blessing you. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And so we are best equipped to comfort people if we have been through something similar. Can I get an amen? None of us are immune to trials, tribulations, to adversity in life. And we got two more points. Can you hang on for two more points? Don't worry. The grill's still that hot at home. No one's going to eat your food because you're the one that's bringing it. Look at this. Number nine. God had a specific purpose for adversity. Paul's thorn had a particular function. It was designed to keep him humble and dependent on God, despite the astounding spiritual revelations that God had given him. Look what he wrote here in 2 Corinthians here. Lest I should be exalted above all measure by the abundance of revelations. Once again, that thorn. I need to hit that at home. God will allow things to come so that it could cause us to grow. Just imagine if you had it comfortable all your life. Well, man, you know, I'll pray for you, but that ain't happening with me. No, we're all going to go through in one way or another. And we close with this one. We can rejoice in the midst of adversity. Can I get amen? We can enjoy. Paul said it best. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Praise God. Hallelujah. My brother, can you come up and just play something song? Praise God. How many believe we serve a mighty God? Is he worthy to be praised? Is Jesus worthy to be praised? Praise God. Those of you that have joined us on YouTube and Facebook, we hope that this word has inspired you. And maybe you're watching for the first time, second, third. Maybe you're going through something so severe that God led you to this message and you need help. Well, only God can see you through. You could be in the state of Texas watching. I don't know where you're watching from. But I'm here to let you know that God loves you. And he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for you and I. That he would take all the cares and the affairs of this world. He would take all the sins, and it was nailed on the cross for you. I'm praying that if you never received the Lord Jesus Christ, this is a great opportunity to open up your heart. Cry out to God. Ask him to come in and fill the void in your life. Before I got saved, there was so many voids. I was looking for love in all the wrong places. I found out that it was Jesus who I was looking for, and I didn't know that's who I needed in my life. And so I'm going to ask you to bow your heart and your head. I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's here right now to pray with me for you, that you would receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith like all of us have. And God has given us a new life, a new walk, a new talk. We're not the same anymore. God has done something miraculous in our lives, and he wants to do the same for you. And all you have to do is come to him by faith and ask him to save you. So with your head bowed and your hearts bowed, pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for all my sins. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Is he worthy? Come on, is he worthy? Saints of God, I am so just filled with his presence and his love in my heart, and I can see it. It's all on you as well. Listen, enjoy the rest of the day with your family. For those of you that you're welcome to our home, we're going to enjoy the Brazilian barbecue. And we're looking forward for more fellowship with one another. And don't forget us on Wednesday nights. And we stream live from our studio. It's book, chapter, and verse. And we're in the book of Philippians right now. And I hope you join and learn and grow. Amen. And so I'm looking forward to seeing you all next week. We love you guys. And allow me to just leave the benediction. And it goes just like this. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his shalom, his peace, in Jesus' name. Amen. We love you. God bless you. And we'll see you next week. Amen. Praise God.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com. Or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.